This is episode 318, dated Monday, December 11th, 2023.
You are listening to Sports Roundtable.
Hello, everybody. And welcome to Sports Roundtable. My name is Bob Branco, and this is episode 318, dated Monday, December 11th, 2023. Before we continue with our program and our very special guest for today, let me introduce the panel members that we have so far. We have, from Coos Bay, Oregon, Peter Alchil.
Welcome from Coos Bay. Another atmospheric river has left us. So it's actually a relatively pleasant day, but we're mourning the prowess of the Oregon Ducks and the Seattle Seahawks.
All right. And from Texas, we have the Reverend Michael Garrett.
Welcome from a happy Cowboy fan in a 63-degree, beautiful, sunny day in Missouri City, Texas.
Send it up here, please. And from New Jersey, we have Don Wardlow.
Oh, hi there. From Jersey, where it's just cold, not pouring with rain like it was yesterday.
Luther King should be joining us momentarily. I'm sure that when he does, he will let us know. I want to say thank you to those people who make it possible for Sports Roundtable to be with us. We have Raymond Gay, our executive editor and producer. Thank you for what you do. Tom and Lynn from Rosie's Place Chatline, thank you very much for hosting our programs on bulletin board number 14 on your line. We appreciate that. Also, our media outlets, thank you for airing us when you do. That's much appreciated as well. And also to Jacqueline Sylvia of JS Web Solutions for archiving our programs on my website. Just go to www.brancoevents.com. Arrow down till you get to Sports Roundtable Podcasts, click on them, and you will see most of our archives from latest to earliest.
Merci, Jackie.
And finally, many thanks to Trish, who has agreed to be our host for today's program. Trish, thank you very much, as always, for taking the time to spend time with us on Sports Roundtable. We appreciate you very much. We have a very special guest with us, Pete Shepherd, who many of us are quite familiar with. I remember listening to Pete locally on WEEI in Boston for almost a decade. Pete Shepherd has agreed to join us today from Fort Myers, Florida. Pete, I believe that's where you said you are at the moment. Welcome to Sports Roundtable.
Thanks. Yeah, doing morning drive now for the Tony Bruno Sports Network. Tony's a legend, so I do. He's got his own network down here. And it's been phenomenal. Been there about 6 weeks after being at ESPN Southwest Florida for over 6 years, and honored to be with you guys. It's fantastic. It is a little chilly, 65 degrees right now, partly cloudy here in Fort Myers. I like going to the pool after the show sometimes and get a little exercise in, but unfortunately couldn't get that done today. The humidity is overwhelming. I'm not sure I'll survive.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm glad that you're having fun down there in Florida, and I'm glad that you're doing what you're doing, Pete. I've listened to you for a long, long time. You've always been a very knowledgeable sports individual, and we've learned a lot from you over the years, and we appreciate you.
Sorry about that.
I wanted to start out by talking about the most ridiculous contract in sports history that evolved over the weekend. The LA Dodgers, and I get why they did it. It's nothing to them because in their opinion, they can invest all the money they want in this player because this player is going to cause a lot of sales of his paraphernalia. They'll make his money back right away. It doesn't matter how much money Shohei Ohtani's going to make, even if he's out for a year. The Dodgers made an investment and they're sure they're going to make it up quickly. $700 million over 10 years. For Shohei Ohtani, can you believe it, as Joe Castiglione would say?
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you think?
He can't pitch for a year, but he's still going to be able to play. And everything you say is true, but a lot of people don't understand Not that it matters. First of all, you get caught up in athletes and Hollywood money, then you dilute. I mean, you can't get it's insane. It's not realistic. So I have blocked that stuff out a long, long time ago. So if you're worth what you work, sorry, my dog's playing with a squeaky toy. Chara, my dog's name is Chara.
How much is he going to hit with a blowed elbow?
Right. Well, I thought he would be out for a couple of months.
No, but the thing is, he's not going to be able to pitch for a while. That's obvious. But remember, a lot of this money is deferred. I don't think a lot of people understand the contract. And I think Jeff Passan broke it down on ESPN very succinctly the other day. A lot of this money is deferred. So what does that mean? It means the Dodgers are very smart about this whole thing. He's still going to get his $700 million, but the Dodgers are only going to be out about $40 to $50 million a year range, which is a huge benefit for that organization. So the deferrals also affect the net present value of the deal. And, you know, money today, as they say, is more valuable than money tomorrow. So on paper, it looks like nutso money, crazy. I get it. Shohei Ohtani is going to get his money, but a lot of this money is deferred. It's a big terminology for rich people and rich owners that have hundreds of billions of dollars. They're going to get a big tax break. Everybody's going to be happy. And, you know, the Dodgers are going to be, they're already a World Series contender already, obviously. And now they just got better, whether he pitches or not.
But if he hits 250 with a blown elbow, that'll be a miracle. I think there's no way he can hit 250 with a ruined elbow.
But it brings up the following question, though.
Hey, Luther.
I guess, at what point do we start to ask ourselves, Dave Roberts, Yankees won one, but now that he's got Shohei Ohtani, now the expectations go through the roof. It's either World Series championship or bust for the Dodgers now with Shohei Ohtani.
Well, it's been that way for that. But I think it's been that way for them and a lot of other organizations for a long time. I mean, and on my show and for years, even in Boston and everything else, when it comes to putting teams together, you know, Herb Brooks had the best line ever. You know, I'm not looking for the best players. I'm looking for the right ones. So yeah, I'm sure he's going to fit in, but what if their pitching sucks? I mean, then what happens? What if Soto goes to the Yankees? Yeah. Soto's with the Yankees, a 2-3 combination, him and Judge. Great. What if their pitching stinks? They just traded away four starters, basically. Four right-handed starters.
I thought it was a reliever in there too.
Yeah, a reliever in there. It's a short little league right field at Yankee Stadium, which is offensive, but. All right, so they hit a few more home runs. What if Aaron Judge goes into one of his month and a half slumps again? I don't know. I mean, it looks good on paper. They got Soto for a year. Ohtani's going to be obviously there for at least 10 years. So it's all about, sometimes it comes down to chemistry. All these things look great on paper. Let's see how it plays out. The Mets, the Yankees, and San Diego spent more money than anybody, than God last year. Where did they get them? Who got nothing, if you're saying Italian. Nothing.
Eliminated from the playoffs. Didn't even sniff the playoffs.
Nope.
So for me, the issue with him is, the reason my understanding of about why he got all this money deferred or not is that he can hit and pitch. And it isn't clear to me that he'll be able to pitch again. I know that I heard an interview from somebody saying that the Dodgers had thoroughly investigated this and they were confident he'd be able to pitch again, but you never know about these injuries. You know,
And Pete, let's take this one step further. He's already had two of the same elbow surgeries in a 5-year period.
You got it.
That was my point too, Luther. You brought up a good point. His pitching is really questionable now. And as Don says, with the bad elbow, how effective is his batting going to be? I think the Dodgers may have taken a big risk.
Mike, everything is a risk in sports or in life. Everything is a risk. I mean, think about this.
Yeah, but some risks are bigger than
others. But
the thing is, yeah, it may not cost you a lot of money, but just like normal you and me, say we walk out of our house and we get, you know, hit by a car. There's a chance we may not survive.
Yeah, but Luther, the point is, we already know what Shohei Ohtani might face. He might face being out of pitching for a year and a half.
Well, that's usually the time
value goes down.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and it could be another Bobby Bonilla. They could be paying him in 2065, even if he's not alive anymore.
Oh, God. Right. Don't remind me.
So, Pete, what do you make of all this?
Well, look, I think from a batting standpoint, I mean, you all make good points. I'm going to get that, but obviously someone was going to pay him this kind of money. Okay. Maybe it would have been 650, maybe 700 million, 50 million more than what most of us thought. I thought maybe between 6 and 650. All right. Yeah, Dodgers come over the top and get 700. They don't care because, you know, if he hits pretty well, which I have a feeling he's still going to, there's certainly a risk with the elbow. There's no question about that. But let me ask all of you, the whole panel, this. Whatever team is your team, and obviously, you know, covering the Red Sox and being a Red Sox fan my entire life, would you not take, would you not take him on your team right now for 700 million? Why do you care about the money? It's not your money. Who cares? Wouldn't you assume the risk there and just,
I would want him to give me the most bang for the buck.
Well, that's all, you always want that, but you know, a lot of these teams, including the Red Sox over the years, have overpaid for people. Usually they have produced some of them have, obviously. But no matter what team you're rooting for, if the Red Sox and John Henry wanted to spend $700 million, I'd say, great, bring them. I'll take my chances. It's not my money. And hopefully, you know, things will work out. Hopefully from both ends, meaning hitting and pitching. But if not, well, what are we going to do? I'll take my chances. Somebody was going to do it. There isn't a fan of any team in Major League Baseball that wouldn't want Shohei Ohtani on their team.
That's true.
Now, he's not going to give his lag what he did last year. I mean, you know, passing Babe Ruth, all that kind of stuff. But I can't imagine there's any fan base out there that wouldn't want Shohei Ohtani on their team right now.
Well, I would say that's true. But remember, to go back to Luther's comment about Bobby Bonilla. I mean, you know, us Mets fans
are still
sort of gagged when we think about him.
That was me, and yeah. They're going to be paying him for real until 2035. So yeah, if this is just his beginning for Shohei, they'll be paying him in 2065.
And what if Shohei doesn't pitch in a year and a half or 2 years?
Well, what if exactly? Well, here's the thing: he still gets his pay even though he doesn't work. Right?
He's going to be playing in a field every. He's going to be batting every day. What if he's batting, you know, over 300 and hitting 35 plus homers and driving in 100 RBI.
Okay, cool.
Unless there's steroids involved, that's a physical impossibility with a blown elbow.
Don't remind me of 98.
Look, the fact of the matter is, if Dodgers win a couple of championships, nobody's going to care.
That's the bottom line.
That's the bottom line.
Who's going to pitch for that to happen? Bueller? No. Kershaw? No. May? No. Gonsolin? No. Who's going to pitch for the Dodgers?
That's the question. Because so, the Dodgers starting rotation.
Do we happen to have a hand raised?
Oh, if they get Blake Snell, they may have a chance. But the question is, how's Blake Snell going to look? Because, I mean, the Diamondbacks are getting better. Yeah. I mean, the Diamondbacks are getting better. The Giants could get better. The whole NL West could get better. It may not be as easy of a cakewalk as the Dodgers would normally have in the NL West.
Well, I don't think it's ever a cakewalk. I don't think it's ever a cakewalk, number one. And number two, the Padres have nowhere to go but up after last year. I mean, an absolute debacle.
Yeah. And then they lose, check this out, they lose their manager. Bud Black, who goes, they lose their manager to the Giants.
Bob Melvin.
I Joe Kelly to a 1-year, $8 million deal today about an hour ago. So.
Well, that he's a reliever. That helps our bullpen.
Yeah, he can fire. I mean, he played for the Red Sox. That man, he can fire, yeah.
And he can throw a left hook and a right cross.
Yes, right. Kelly.
Dodgers are selling Kelly a 1-year deal.
Yeah.
Pete, I have a question I've been thinking about ever since I heard you were coming on. As one who lived in Boston for several years, I find that Boston is sort of a, compared to the rest of the country, is sort of an idiosyncratic sports fan base. Correct me if I'm wrong. College sports is not a big deal, especially football is not a big deal in that part of the world. Baseball is more of a big deal than it is, say, in Missouri where I used to live. Can you talk about the difference between you living in Florida and doing a national show compared to being in Boston for as long as you were?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I've been a huge college football fan my whole life, not just BC. We vacationed on the East Coast of Florida for many years, so I've been a huge Miami Hurricane fan forever. When they almost dropped the program from the mid 70s when nobody cared about them until Schellenberger took over and they won their first national championship in the 82-83 season. So I've always been a big fan of college football. Boston is a big time, most of the Northeast, Boston, New York, Philadelphia are parochial cities. They are professional towns. Now, that doesn't mean there's not college fans. You go to any sports bar in Boston or Philadelphia, New York on weekends, you will find tons of people all over the place that are big-time college football fans. The problem with those markets is the hosts are lazy, and they don't watch enough college football up there. They don't. They think it's all about the Red Sox, Bruins, Celtics, and Patriots, or you know, in New York, you know, same thing, Giants, Rangers, Knicks, that kind of thing in Philadelphia. But, I mean, it's different. What I love doing it down here is nobody gets really caught up in the minutiae. You know, we get calls every day down here from when I was at ESPN Southwest Florida, and even now, my fan base, the listener is very diverse. So we have people down here from all over the country. So we get, I call it, you know, we have a Northeast contingency, obviously our Florida contingency. We have what I call the Big Ten contingency. And then we have people out west as well. So it's different every day, and it's not the same thing. You don't get caught up in the same type of minutia every single day. But Boston is a big time for Oakfield Tom. It's, you know, Patriots, Bruins, Celtics, Red Sox, and depending on who's winning, and it's not necessarily in that order. Right now, I mean, in Boston, there's no question the Celtics and Bruins are number one. And Boston has always, always been a hockey town. Always.
Mm-hmm.
That's never changed.
They were one of the original Sixes.
Yep.
And speaking of the Golden Hurricanes, thoughts on Mario Cristobal after the Georgia Tech gag? Where is Miami in the college football pecking order?
I think they're heading in the right direction. You gotta have a process. You look what Mike Norvell's done at Florida State. You know, people want to can him too. It's either like win a championship or go to hell now. It's crazy. Yeah. It's gotten so out of hand. You gotta give coaches a little bit of time. Yeah, the Georgia Tech was a major brain fart. One of the biggest debacles I've ever seen in my life. There's no getting around that. But they got the number five recruiting class coming in next year. I think they're headed in the right direction. They were two plays away this year from being not 7-5, but being, you know, 9-3. Couple of stupid plays. They got screwed in the Florida State game with a safety that should have been called. The Georgia Tech game was obviously a debacle, but they got the number five recruiting class coming in. I think a guy like Billy Napier at Florida is in a lot more trouble, even though he has the number three recruiting class coming in.
He's definitely in trouble.
Because they have underachieved big time. So I'm not worried about Mario Cristobal. Now they got a lot of nil money there. There's a lot of things happening. And the fact that it took him to get all the stuff, the bad stuff out the last 2 years, you got to give coaches a chance. Did Time Magazine give Deion Sanders Coach of the Year? Are you kidding me? He had 90 kids leave. And you know, they got fired after the first two games.
After they beat TCU, who just went downhill. I'm like, dude.
But TCU isn't that good this year. They got crushed and obliterated. And they're having a bunch of kids leave. And Time Magazine, I think, gave him Coach of the Year, which is insane to me.
I thought for Memphis Tiger head coach Mike Norvell should have got it, even though they got hosed in the college football playoff for Kirby Smart for crying out loud with the Georgia Bulldogs. One of those two should have got it.
The coach you guys, what's his name at Missouri? He had a great year.
Eli Drinkwitz,
I have a different opinion on the Florida State thing because people don't want to take into consideration the rules that the committee have to go by. And as currently constituted, part of the rules, which is I read this almost every day because there's always somebody that wants to make an art, and it's fine. I understand Florida State fans. I understand you think they got holes. One of the criteria is other relevant factors. This is in section 2 under principles. Other relevant factors such as unavailability of key players and coaches that may have affected the team's performance during the season or likely will affect its postseason performance. They can take that all into consideration. And I went through, if you go through the top 13 teams ranked right now in the college football playoff poll and played Florida State on a neutral field, every one of those 13 teams, every one of them would be favored over Florida State right now as they are currently constituted. I think the team that got hosed was Georgia.
Exactly. Yep. I mean, and the thing is, Heather Dennis talked about it on the Sunday morning after Championship Saturday. She's like, there's a criteria that everybody doesn't pay attention to. That they can look at your last two games that you played and look at how bad your offense was. And that's Florida State. Florida State's defense is championship defense. But if you can't score, what makes you think you're going to hang with a Michigan, a Texas, a Washington, an Alabama, an Oregon? if Oregon would have made the college football playoff. And their award, they're going to get crushed by Georgia. I have no doubt.
There's a lot of factors that go in. Number one, when the quarterback went down, when Travis went down, that changed everything. They're on their third string quarterback. They were not going to have, and I'm sorry, it does make a difference. It's unfair.
Yeah, Brock.
Not a great rule. It's unfair, but they did not want another 65-7 debacle like they had last year.
Exactly.
That's what's going to happen.
See if we have any people raising their hands.
Do we? Yeah, let's do it.
Do we, Trish? Do we have anybody?
Yes, we do. We have, let's see. Area code 626.
Mitchell.
Go ahead.
Mitchell.
That's Mitchell from the West Coast. Okay. Oh, he's happy today. Oh, I'm sure he's on
the Here comes a Dodger fan.
Oh.
There
we go.
We knew you
were
coming. Well, I'm going to have to jump off pretty quick, but I have to point out Ohtani hit as well the last 2 months of the season with that torn ligament. It didn't affect, and what we have been told throughout is it will have no effect whatsoever on his hitting.
Yep.
So I don't know how that works, but the Dodgers believe what the medical folks have told them. And as was pointed out earlier, somebody was going to pay him that kind of money. Apparently his agent was the one who suggested the deferred contract. And yeah, Bobby Bonilla, it's Bobby Bonilla-like, but given inflation, the way inflation is going, it may in fact turn out to be a bargain. So, you know, if not us, it would have been somebody else. And, but as was mentioned a few minutes ago, our issue really is pitching. And now with that contract that it's only going to be $40 million off the books for now, you know, we're still in a position to get some starting pitching. Buehler may not be ready until May or June. They're looking still to sign Kershaw. I wish they wouldn't. I think the man ought to retire, go out with some dignity. I'm now hearing that Tyler Glasnow is the one they're looking at, along with Dylan Cease. I know nothing about either of them.
Well, let me tell you, either one of them, they're going to get at least a chance to have an ace. Because at least Dylan Cease can get you at least 6 or 7. Same thing to Glasnow, because he's got some wicked stuff too.
Yeah, and Snell is apparently off the Dodgers' radar. Mm. But, you know, we're going to win if we don't get some starting pitching. Although, with the two young guys, Bobby Miller particularly,
I love him.
Ryan Pepio, both could be in the starting rotation next year. And Bobby Miller is really outstanding. He is going to be the next Kershaw. So, you know, we need a little help, but as I say, having Ohtani, you know, Saturday we thought he was going to go to Toronto, that false rumor tracking the airplane and all that other nonsense.
Anybody who believed that you could buy the Brooklyn Bridge. That is such a bogus rumor to even think of that.
I heard that rumor on Friday. And I'm like, what?
We had dinner
with friends Saturday night, and the fella is as big a Dodger fan as I am. And we were saying Sunday, actually, we talked about when the rumor turned out to be false, that the fella who put the story out, Hornstra, no one's ever going to believe him again. He's, I think, ruined his credibility as a sports reporter.
That's why I only deal with the MLBs like the John Morosis and the Mark Feinsands and the others that come through MLB. Because at least those folks, they're on the ground floor.
Well, I'm pleased to have him. The contract, you know, in 2035, I may not even be alive, so I won't care. but the story is, and you haven't mentioned it, Mookie Betts apparently is going to be a permanent second baseman.
He played there in the minor leagues for the Red Sox.
He came up as a second baseman.
Yeah, he actually played there a few games for the Red Sox too in an emergency situation, but that doesn't surprise me.
Betts actually,
Is that from having to run outfield?
Exactly. He and the Dodgers think it is going to be better for him physically. Yeah, he was signed as an infielder, and he played, I don't know, 30-some-odd games or more for us this past season, and he was flawless. He was as good a second baseman as he was an outfielder, and so we don't have to worry about guys in the minors. In fact, we traded today Jordan Vivas and Victor Gonzalez to the Yankees. Yeah. For a guy that I suspect is a minor leaguer, Trey Sweeney.
Yes.
Sweeney. I don't know who he is.
I did read some good things about Victor. Was it Rodriguez?
Victor Gonzalez.
Yes. I read some good things about him a couple of years ago.
Yeah, he was pretty good a couple of years ago. He did not do well this year, but and Gavin Lux is one of the trade pieces. We're also going after Corbin Burns.
You're really going to load up, man.
Didn't Lux wipe out either an ACL or an Achilles? One of the other?
An ACL and an MCL in the first workout at spring training this year.
Yeah, I don't know if you're going to get much of anything for him. I wouldn't.
Probably not.
Well, he may be a package. The deal I'm hearing is Lux, Cartaya, who did not have a great year as a AAA catcher, Diego Cartaya, and one of our young pitchers. And if they take Michael Grove off our hands, I'll be thrilled because I don't think he's all that good.
Michael Cartaya, talking those three for Burns and Willie Adames. Cartaya was with Rancho Cucamonga. I listened to a few of the broadcasts with Linskog, and his name was brought up a lot often.
They moved him up, actually, not to AAA. They moved him up to AA later in the season, but he did not have a great year.
Mitch, before you go, I know you have to go. Yeah. I'm curious about your take on the congratulations to the Lakers winning the first NBA in-season playoff
tournament.
Yay. I'm the only fan, I guess, in the United States who doesn't give a bleep.
No, I'm with you, Mitch.
I'm with you also.
But if it makes the players care more about it, if it makes the players care more about it, and it's not low management, then I'm all for it.
Yeah, it's fine. I didn't listen to either of the games in Vegas because they didn't count in the standings. The semifinals and the finals, as I recall, didn't count in the standings. So who cares?
You got it. Hey, the only good basketball is played by women at the collegiate level, for my money.
Exactly.
Bronny made his debut yesterday for my alma mater, for USC. He looked pretty good. The rest of the team stunk. We blew a 15-point lead in the second half and lost to Long Beach State. But Bronny will probably in the next 2 or 3 weeks be starting, I think.
That block he had, he played 16 minutes. I think he had 4 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. The block he made looked just like his father. That doesn't surprise me.
And thank goodness he's recovered. He had the surgery that fixed the defect. But the one thing that'll do is I think this will have him stay and play one more season at USC. I'm not even sure he'll go into the G League next year, but we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, do you still have Pete Arbogast out there?
Absolutely. He's the USC football guy. He's fantastic.
He just does football. I don't know, cause he used to do both.
He did basketball and about 10 years ago, a guy took over named Rory Marcus, who was very good, sadly passed away in his early 50s. And the guy's been doing USC basketball for the last three, four years is a guy named Jordan Moore, and he was runner-up to the guy who the new broadcaster for the Clippers.
Oh, you mean the guy that Ian Eagle's son. Ian Eagle's son is doing.
No, he's not Ian Eagle's son.
Noah was the voice for 2 seasons. I've heard him on SGA.
I don't remember his name because I don't listen to Clipper games.
I've heard him and he's improved remarkably since I've listened to him.
Yeah, Jordan Moore does the SC basketball games and he's the sideline guy for the football games.
Yep.
But I thought Ian Eagle's son was doing Clipper games as play-by-play.
Well, no,
he's on the radio.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, on the radio.
No, he's not, actually.
I heard him last year. I haven't heard him this year. But
last year, yeah.
I don't know what he's doing this year.
This year, he's on the Nets.
And we do have other hands, just so you
okay,
know.
Okay, so Mitch, before you go,
take care. I'll listen until I have to go. Take care, everybody.
Condolences, Mitch, on the Rams. That was a difficult loss for them yesterday.
They should have won that game.
Well, I think Baltimore is going to come out of the AFC.
I think so, too.
So it doesn't matter.
I
think they're the ones coming out of the AFC.
The only way the Ravens don't come out of the AFC is like with everybody else in this league, injuries and health.
They've got the best defense in football.
Yeah, they do.
Show it yesterday, but they have the best defense in football.
I need to see Miami play against a better team. I mean, they're not playing against nobody tonight locally. I mean, I need to see them play better against the teams that are in playoff contention before a chance.
And Dallas, Dallas proved a lot of people wrong. I mean, they crushed the Eagles, and Dallas playing great football right now. They hadn't beaten a good team either, and they smashed the Eagles. Who are in a really tough stretch.
They're in a bad spot.
Well, they have four games they had to play. Kansas City, Buffalo.
San Francisco,
and Dallas. I mean, that's a tough stretch. They have four, not cream puffs, but they have four very winnable games. And I was talking about this on my show today. They have four very winnable games remaining. It reminds me of the Bucks down here a few years ago with Tom Brady when they won the Super Bowl. They were 6-5 and sort of kind of finding themselves. Then they had four cream puff games at the end. And they blasted all of them and really got their conference going. And then, then they beat Washington playoffs, Philadelphia and Green Bay.
Then they beat Green Bay. He basically had home field.
I wouldn't be, if you're an Eagle fan, I would not be so distraught right now. I think you're in pretty good shape to figure stuff out the next month.
But the team they need to worry about.
And that, you talk about a game of inches.
No kidding.
There were two passes to A.J. Brown.
Yep.
One, he turned the wrong way. The other one was just off of his fingertips.
Yep.
And the inches was the touchdown Pollard, I guess.
I think it was Pollard.
I think it was Pollard.
Then didn't they have one to Smith? They had one to Smith on a short pass where he got tackled immediately.
But I'm just thinking about the inches. If Brown catches those balls, one of them was going to go for a touchdown. The other one would have put them in
goal to go
in the red zone. So
at least,
that was a game of inches, I thought.
But at the other part of the game is when it's real simple. Brown fumble lost. Hurts fumble lost. Smith fumble lost. That's the ball
three turnovers.
That's the ball game.
Yeah,
that's the ball game.
And you look at the Chiefs Bills. Same thing. 2-1 turnovers.
And those were caused fumbles. I like that. Most of them were caused.
They punched
those balls out.
They got after it.
And so did we have other people trying to get in?
Actually, we have several hands raised. The first one is Malcolm.
Malcolm in the middle.
Cole.
What's up?
Here I am.
What's happening?
Not much. Sunny San Diego. What do you think? Now, let me see if I understand this correctly. $700 million for 10 years. First year he gets $40 million, and then does it increase so many million up until 10 years? Or is it $40 million for the next 9 years? At 10 years, he gets a lump sum back?
It gets a lot of it. Let me, I wrote this all down in my notes. I'm trying to, it's basically going to come out to what the Dodgers really make out here. So, The money in the contract is deferred. The competitive balance tax number, the luxury tax, is discounted. Write this down. I'm going to quiz you later. With a source saying the majority of Ohtani's contract is deferred, the discount could be significant. So typically, the CBT number is the average annual value of a deal. In this case, $70 million. But depending on the size and the length of the deferrals, Ohtani's CBT number is likely to wind up in the $40 to $50 million a year range, which is a big time benefit for the Dodgers. So the deferrals also affect the net present value of the deal. There's a, as I said, money today, more valuable than money tomorrow. But the Dodgers are operating in an environment where the prime rate is 8.5%. And with money today being so pricey, it lowers the present day value of the deal by a significant margin. So in the end, he's going to get his $700 million U.S. dollars by the Dodgers, an incredibly, as we know, an obscene amount. But he's going to get it all. It's just a question of some years are going to be bigger than others. It's almost like Patrick Mahomes' contract is very serviceable these next 2 years. Next year, I think it goes up to, you know, what, a $50 million a year. So.
I think it is. I think it's like 50, maybe 50.5, something
yes.
like that,
yes.
somewhere in that ballpark.
Yep.
Okay, so with this contract, the Dodgers are going to look okay.
Yes.
How are the fans going to look? Are they going to see an increase in ticket prices next year and parking prices and concession stand prices?
Every team does that. The Red Sox are in last place. They're raising prices all over the course. It is. 50
you
bucks.
You better believe it.
Tickets up 10%. They all do it. They all do. Peter Angelosa is a crappy owner as he is and got lucky, not lucky, but he's going to sell off an entire team. And look what they're doing over there.
I do have to run, but I will let you finish the show. I have to have another commitment here. Pete, it's great having you. Continue the show with everybody else.
Thanks.
Guys, I'll be talking to you. And this is a great show.
Happy birthday to you.
Okay, so I understand that everybody's jacking up their prices, but I also understand that everything in California is more expensive than anywhere else in the country. Can we expect a higher increase in ticket prices than other places?
Yes.
Yes. Well, I don't know about other places, but if it's a 10% markup, it's a 10% markup. I don't think they're going to go higher than that. But of course it's going to be that way. And you know what?
Yeah.
And people will pay it. People will pay it as long as you are a contending team.
Exactly.
Right. I get that. They're more every minute.
As long as you have a chance to either A, be in the playoffs or be in the discussion for a World Series, of course it's going to go up.
Well, one of the things that I keep saying, and maybe I'm wrong, Pete, I'm curious your take on this. The sports system is not so much for the fans who come to the stadium. It's the TV contracts. It's the merchandise. The fans are almost a second thought. Am I right about that or am I being too cynical?
No, I mean, I think you're pretty much accurate. I mean, they all preach they care about the fans.
Right.
They all preach that. No, it's a business. It is a business. If they cared about the fans, teams that finish in last place or teams that don't spend money up to $40 million a year, you know, they give tickets for free. Now, even last year at Fenway, it got so bad, they're giving away Red Sox Yankee tickets away for like $2. That's how bad it got last year at Fenway, which I have never, you know, even my friends told me. I'm down here, obviously, in Southwest Florida. But so, I mean, they're only going to be patient, especially in baseball, where I still think I'm a baseball fan still, but you're losing the younger generation, even with the pitch clock and everything else. I mean, if you're not a contending team, why are you going to a Pirate game? Why are you going to some of these other teams, even though they have beautiful stadiums and beautiful facilities? You're not going to sit there and pay 50 bucks to get in, 25 to 50 bucks or $100 to park. Sometimes the parking is more than the ticket price to go watch crappy baseball.
And the concessions. Let's not forget about that.
Oh God, that's an old that please. Oh, you know, paying $12 for a beer?
Come on.
Malcolm, thank you for your comment. Chris, who's next?
Okay.
Who's next?
Okay. Next we have Troy Larson.
Actually, Trish, how many folks do we have?
How many do we have?
Hi everybody.
Hi Troy.
Troy.
Total on this call, including me, is 12.
Now, how many hands are raised?
How many hands are
raised? Oh, I'm sorry. We have two, and that's Troy and one more.
Okay, thank you. Right. Hey, Troy.
You're welcome.
Hey, Troy, what's up?
All right. Let's see here. I think the first thing I want to bring up, I wonder if the Shohei Ohtani deal has an opt-out for 7 years, like the Alex Rodriguez deal back in 2000 did. You know, the deal that A-Rod signed with the Texas Rangers for 10 years, $252 million. My understanding is, I mean, I've not heard of any opt-out after 7 years, but obviously if the contract is deferred, you know, maybe they didn't feel like there was, and you need to have an opt-out in there, but I'm just speculating. just throwing some thoughts out there.
It does. Troy, it does not include any opt-outs. I can tell you that. It does not include any opt-outs, according to a couple of sources. And again, the majority of his salary will be deferred in order to mitigate what the Dodgers, quote, are charged toward their competitive balanced tax payroll on a yearly basis, meaning they're going to make out great.
Sure.
It sounds like to me that from what I'm hearing you say, I mean, the big stars are earning an average of $40, $45 million a year. So it sounds like Ohtani's getting sort of the same amount, but spread out, spread over a period of time.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's sort of the same thing, but it sounds great on paper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the contracts in baseball, they sure seem to have escalated, especially for the big stars. They have gone up in the past few years. In fact, when you look at, first of all, when you look at the list of top 10 contracts, as far as the overall value of a contract, most of them happened within the past few years. The only two exceptions are the two deals that Alex Rodriguez had, $252 million, but he had with Texas, and of course he's traded to the Yankees, and then the $275 million that A-Rod signed back in 2007 after he opted out the first deal. But
no, don't forget Mike Trout's contract. Mike signed a $426.5 million 12-year deal back 4 years ago. So, yeah. And that was huge back then. And Mahomes signed a $450 million deal with the Chiefs. And, you know, Verlander and Scherzer, they signed up big time deals as well. And when you think about the Orioles have a payroll of $60.9 million, of course the A's, poor Billy Bean, at $56.9 million. I mean, it's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. And as a baseball fan, I'm sit there, I'm thinking, how is it that we get all this money via the teams? You know, how is it from, you know,
from TV?
The TV bubble might be bursting a little bit for some markets. Cause
yeah, I saw something today.
Not in Los Angeles. It's not.
I saw something today
speaking of TV, or the Royals could be looking for another television partner with what's going on with Bally.
Bally in 15 markets, and you saw last year what happened. I mean, there were games that weren't on the air, and now you have teams right now. I think the Blue Jays and the Angels were two. They didn't even send their broadcast crews on the road. They did the game from a studio for away games.
Correct.
That's awful.
And by the way, they dumped Ving Wagner on Friday.
Yeah.
As the radio voice of the Blue Jays, which is totally stupid. You don't remember Ving Wagner, the former
They dumped
of the
him?
Blue? Yes. They didn't renew his contract.
Pete, remind me of this.
He is real good.
The issue for the owners is many of these teams are a tax write-off.
Yeah. Well, Eric Nadel a couple of weeks ago was talking about this.
You know, so.
I asked him about the producer.
So in some ways, they want to get us, I'm being a bit snarky and cynical, they want to get a big loss to offset whatever else they're making money on. So,
that's a great point. And, you know, I have discussions with people who are Red Sox fans all the time, like, bleeping Henry, he's spending money on the Pittsburgh Penguins, which they own. They're spending money on, you know, Manchester, Liverpool, which they own. They're spending money with LeBron and the racing thing. Every one of those is a separate entity. One has nothing to do with the other. So people think, they're spending this amount of money here, or why aren't they spending on the Red Sox there? It's got nothing to do with any of that stuff. Now, you want to question how serious John Henry is right now, just using him as an example, committed to winning with the Red Sox. Okay, that's a different story. They bring in Brett, everything else. But I think people get confused with these billionaire owners. And, you know, they're quirky people. I've been fortunate enough to meet a lot of them. And, you know, it's not like people you want to go out and have a beer with, you know, they're kind of quirky people, but they got there for a reason. Most of them, not through nepotism or, you know, handed, you know, trust funds. They got there for a reason. And, you know, it's their toy company. It's their Toys R Us. And they're just kind of, you know, they're just plugging along. But I hear people all the time say, why, you know, the Red Sox own the Penguins. They own Liverpool. They own, you know, Ross Racing and all that stuff. But the Red Sox came in last place. Why is that? And
it's their own subsidies.
I never say never, but I have a hard time seeing my owner down here, Jim Crane, spending that kind of money on a player. I mean, he had a chance to keep Carlos Correa, but he wouldn't keep Carlos Correa.
Mike, if they keep winning. If it's one of those once in a lifetime players, oh, you bet your bottom dollar he will do everything he can.
It's an interesting thing because, you know, the teams like the Orioles last year were fabulous. They had a great year. They had one of the lowest payrolls in baseball.
Yeah, 60.9 million.
That was a miracle.
It happens.
2 years ago, the only All-Star they had in 2021 was Melanie Newman up there in the broadcast
room. Exactly. And speaking of her, I don't remember if she's still doing the games or not. I think she's still the number two.
They shunted her onto TV, which I think is a complete waste.
Load of crap.
Not too good a mind for TV. Yeah.
And speaking of TV radio commentary, by the way, stupid move that they moved Corey Provis to TV. And now they have Chris Atterbury, who used to be their game day host. Now
he's overtime radio. He'll be good. Don't worry about that.
He'll be fine. Then they have.
Well, they had Dick Bremer. He was their longtime TV voice.
Yeah, he was forever.
Had done for 40 years on various outlets, especially when the Twins were first back on cable. I mean, we're on cable forever. But because of a Bally Sports situation, I wonder if they decided they had to have him step down to save some costs.
Yes, absolutely, Troy. 100%. Absolutely. That's a big part of it. That's why Bally's they've had a lot of issues. And then you go back, to the Tampa Bay Rays down here. I mean, what that team has accomplished with that minimal payroll, and it's all about scouting and getting the right players, not necessarily the best ones. They've had a plethora of talent come through Tampa Bay, come so close, to getting over that hump. They're kind of the new version of Moneyball back when, Billy was doing what he was doing with the A's, which is an amazing story in itself. What he had to do back then with such little money. Tampa Bay is doing the same thing now to a degree. The Minnesota Twins, and not just Rocco Baldelli, went to my high school. I love Rocco. He's a friend, but I mean, the small market teams that are still able to compete, like you get the Twins last year, when you see the Padres and the Mets and the Yankees and to a degree the Red Sox, the Cup that spent all millions, hundreds of millions of dollars and got nothing. And exactly. The small market teams, because of the scouting, put the right players together, not necessarily the best ones, and they're competing, and these other four teams, five teams are sitting home, sucking their thumbs, going, what the hell happened? How did this go wrong?
You screwed it up. That's what you did.
And we still have one more hand, guys, just so you know.
Yeah, well. All
right, let's go on. Whoever's there, go ahead. Let's see.
Gene.
Gene Johnson, thank you so much.
I love the baseball game yesterday between the Vikings and the Raiders. I thought that was a really fabulous example of baseball.
That was fabulous.
That was the only time there would have been a first shutout of a game since 2007. And if it went the whole way, like the last time it happened was in 1952. A full game between
nothing tie.
Yeah. Good Lord. It was crazy.
That was crazy. All right. I'm sorry. Okay. Trish, you go ahead. Yeah.
We had Gene Johnson. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Can you guys hear me?
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yep. So I know we only got like less than 10 minutes left here, so I'm going to be pretty quick. First and foremost, Pete. What are your thoughts on the trade that the Red Sox did over the past week?
The trade that the Red Sox did over the past week?
Yeah, for the pitchers.
The Verdugo thing. You know what? I had Ian Brown on today on my show from MLB.com, and he covers the Red Sox. We were talking about all of that. I knew Verdugo was going. I have no idea what's going to happen with this team, Troy. I really don't. I mean, I guess you kind of have to give Breslow the benefit of the doubt, see what happens. I'd like them to take a chance, go get Blake Snell, and I'll feel a lot better about it. Mm-hmm. I have no idea the direction where this team is going. I really don't. So I can't get a feel for what they're trying to do, except to kind of, you know, jettison the excess baggage for this team that finished in last place, you know, right. And it's not done well the last couple of years. So your guess right now is as good as mine until I see these guys actually pitch for this team. And I will down here in spring training, I'll get to see some of it.
Yeah.
I don't know how much you can really gain out of that, but I'll try, but I don't know. What are your thoughts about it? Do you like it or not?
I am okay with it. I mean, look, my thing is if this gives them kind of a little bit of flexibility as far as maybe trading some pieces for some more pieces, maybe that works. I don't know. But it's tough to say because I really don't see the Red Sox spending the money. I really don't.
That's a shame, but I mean, I like Tyler O'Neill. I think he's a good, you know, a pretty decent player, a good, powerful right-handed hitter. I mean, he's going to hit some home runs at Fenway. Mm-hmm. I love that kind of stuff there, even though it's a left-handed ballpark that people don't want to understand.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know when it's just a tough call because I know they're trying to move in the right direction. And as I keep saying, I told Ian this morning, I want to know how committed John Henry is to getting back to World Series contention again for the Red Sox. So we'll see. We'll see. There's a long way to go. It's only December.
So switching gears here, I was kind of flipping back and forth between the Bengals and Browns yesterday because I am here in Ohio at the moment.
Yep.
Who of those teams do you think is going to make the playoffs? I, my thought on this because of the Bengals losing their quarterback at the time being anyway, Burrow, I have a feeling that the Browns might have a better chance making the playoffs this year than
well, the Browns the lost their quarterback too.
Well, the Browns,
they lost, performed the Browns a lot lost, better though yesterday.
The Browns lost was amazing three quarterbacks.
Yesterday. Flacco was amazing yesterday. Browning is good, but the problem with Cincinnati is this. The Browns are in the playoffs right now as a 5 seed. That was a hell of a win they had yesterday over Jacksonville.
Oh yeah.
But you got to start looking at tiebreakers, division and conferences. And even though Cincinnati is 7-6 and they're only technically one game behind Cleveland, you got to jump over four teams to get there. And that's big. I mean, they're 7-6, but they're 0-4 in the division, which is huge. Yep. And they're 3-6 in the conference. So they're going to have to win out and have some luck as well. Whereas the Browns, who are 3-2 in the division and 6-3 in the conference, that's a big time upper hand for them.
Yeah. Right.
And they basically got a tiebreaker on Jacksonville. So even if Jacksonville wins the AFC South, there's a chance they may face each other again if the seedings stay where they are.
And the other thing that
the Browns, who basically didn't have any fear against Jacksonville, can go down there and knock them out.
Yeah.
They could be the team that I would really watch out for that could be wobbly coming into this playoff run.
Right.
If I had
you're right. That's a great point. With those weapons that they have, as long as they're healthy with Chase and Higgins and company and those guys, as long as Browning continues to do what he does, and he's not just a game manager. People forget that guy was a great quarterback at Washington. It's the last time
got to the
playoff was when he was there. I think people forget that. And now they're going back smashed. Here. But yo, that as long as that team remains reasonably healthy and Mixon keeps doing what he's doing, I mean,
I'm impartial.
Nobody's going to want to play.
So I'm impartial because I live here in Dayton, so I'm only about an hour's drive from, you know, Cincinnati, and I'm too far south to be a Browns fan, although my wife's father is. So I am impartial. Now, the last one I wanted to bring up is the 49ers.
Oh, good Lord, they look good.
They really look good. And I'm really, they lost. So I have a little bit of fear on the Eagles at this point because
I don't.
You don't.
Look, head to head
2 weeks ago, we saw the men versus boys 2 weeks ago, the Eagles and the Chiefs and the Jags, one from the AFC and two from the AFC and one from the NFC might be the three vulnerable teams that I would be concerned with. Yeah, the Eagles have some cream puffs down the stretch, but if they don't get their turnovers fixed, that could be the thing that bounces them out.
Yeah, but Luke, you just hit on that though. That's the right. I think they have four games here, which they should win. Seattle probably be the toughest one next week.
Then Seattle's going to be bounced out after Sunday. So I don't think Seattle's going to make it.
Then they got the Giants twice, and then I think the Eagles will be able to figure it out. And I would be shocked if they lost any of those four games. So I expect them to be 14-3 going to the playoffs. Now you're right. They could still win games and still have a couple of turnovers. They need to fix that because that was a killer yesterday.
Three of them.
Having three in that game. But like I said, I liken it to a lot of what Tampa Bay did a few years ago when they were 6-5 and they had to play, they had four cream puffs at the end and blasted all of them. And people were like, oh, well, we'll see what's going to be like. And I'm like, I'm telling you.
And they got a five seed.
They fixed it. Now they can still fix all their problems. And right now to me, San Francisco and Dallas are still better teams, but as Bill Parcells once said, boys and girls, just get in the tournament and anything can happen.
Yeah, exactly.
And last thing, I didn't mention the New England Patriots because I'm still a loyal fan and I don't know why anymore. But
you can't give up for one bet, you know.
Right, whatever. You can't.
But get the three pick. You know, I want May to be the quarterback. If not him,
well,
okay, so
I'm glad you brought this up, but this does bring up a pertinent question because I know we're running short on time. If you get Drake May, okay, who's going to be the OC and can you really get much out of a running quarterback? Because think you already had a running quarterback. You waved and moved to receiver and tried to play quarterback.
I vote for Josh McDaniels. Just saying.
Well, and we have 3 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love to see McDaniels come back, but keep in mind, do you think Kraft is going to say, okay, Bill, here's what we're going to do. You're going to be the coach. You're no longer the GM. You're bringing McDaniels back. Is that something that Kraft would be willing to do and swallow his pride and bite the bullet and do that?
Honestly, I think that Robert and Bill are going to have a mutual parting of the ways. I think the rumors out there are true. I don't think the Charger rumor out there has any merit to it at all, as I've talked to Scott Stolak about. But as far as him being traded for a number one pick, possibly to Carolina, possibly to Washington, possibly to the Chicago Bears, I think that that's going to be in play. I really do. And if he goes to any of those places and gets total autonomy, so be it. I can't see him going to Washington with Eric Bieniemy there, still not having a head coaching job, which he's been screwed over the last 3 years.
I think
Eric Bieniemy could go to the Bears and be the head coach there because Eberflus is not going to make it. I don't care.
Eberflus is gone after this year. So, I think Eberflus is gone.
Staley's gone too.
I think Staley's gone. There's a few teams that are going
to
make
it. But Bill will, I'd be shocked. Bill does not go into the AFC to coach again. He'll go to the NFC.
Oh, he'll go to the NFC. But here's the thing though. If you're going to Carolina, how long is David Tepper going to be patient? Because he is becoming the Daniel Snyder of impatience.
Bingo.
We have 1 minute.
Yeah. So thank you so much, Pete, for joining us.
Thanks for the time.
Awesome. Thank you guys. Appreciate your time. We hope we will come back sometime.
Yeah. Hope we can bring you back.
Audience for joining us. Come back next week. I think we have another guest next week.
Yes, we do. We have the return of one of our
Pete Weber. I think it is.
Yep, we have the return of the voice.
And we will see you next week. As Bob says, go with God.
We'll see you on the final show of 2023 next week.